faithfully proclaim your word. Help us to eat your word as nourishment to our souls. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As many of you know, just if you listen to my sermons, when God was giving out a sense of direction, I was on a long vacation. In any journey, and I just took a journey a week ago on a Sunday afternoon, I had promised one of the presbyters in our diocese that I would go see, attend one of the services at our mission church in Westminster. Well, they have it on Sunday afternoon at 4, so hey, I can make that. So I went, and my GPS was working fine, but listen to the comedy of errors. I knew where I was going for most of the journey. I was going to go up 695 north to 795 into 140 west. As I'm getting on 695 north, I'm trying to press that it's demuted. I'm trying to press so I can hear it. I want to unmute it. Well, somehow there was an update. You can't just tap it. You have to tap and hold. I didn't get the hold part, so I'm getting irritated. Tap, tap, tap. One tap, I tapped too hard, and the GPS fell out of the thing onto the floor. Now it's on the ground. So I can't see it, I can't hear it. Well, I'm not going to pull over, and I'm certainly not going to drive and fiddle around trying to get the GPS back in its cradle. So I waited till 1:40, and I made a left-hand turn, then I turned over to the side of the road, got it together. I figured out I had to tap and hold. Oh, well, the trials and stupidity I go through sometimes, I'm just not real coordinated, but thank God I got there on time. On any journey, we can expect and run into curveballs. And I guess one of the hardest tests of Christians is that we have to endure. We have to endure when things aren't so good. You know, we take marriage vows for better, for worse. Anybody can love their spouse when things are better. How about when it's for worse? The same goes true of our relationship with God. Anybody can love Jesus on a sunny day. How about when you're in the doldrums? Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, but for an extended period of time. Mystics in the church call that the dark night of the soul. It lasts a lot longer than a night. It's a season. So the title of my sermon this morning is Keeping Our Eyes Fixed on the Goal of Our Journey. The goal of our journey as Christians is to be united with Jesus Christ both in this life and in the next. And we grow in our union with Christ as we yield to the Lord in the simple acts of obedience to Him every day. And one of the most important things we need to do in our journey is not think about tomorrow. Obey God with what's right in front of your nose today. When we encounter in Hebrews 13 is warnings about roadblocks and hindrances to growing in our union with our Lord. And so the first roadblock I want us to discuss, and that's what the author speaks of. The first roadblock to healthy growth in union with our Lord is a warning about the love of money. Hebrews 13:5 says this, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? If any created thing or person competes and contradicts our devotion to Christ, it's an impediment to our growth in Christ. And here we're addressed with this temptation of the love of money. The person who has a love for money is one who is never content with what he has. He is ungenerous and grasping for more. He always wants more, and in fact is afraid of losing what he has. The antidote to this inordinate love for money is to be thankful to God and to grow in being content for the gifts that God has already placed in your lap and before you. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 4:11-12. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. We must walk in union with the teaching of our Lord, who himself had no place to lay his head, and who taught us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15, that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions, and who urged us in Matthew 6:19 to instead lay up our treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. In our relationship with God, as he has revealed himself in Holy Scripture, we're told what not to do and also what to do. In this case, what not to do, don't love money. But what we are to do is to entrust ourselves in the Lord Almighty. Hebrews 13:5-6 says that the Lord gives us this promise. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our helper. I know at times the challenge of trusting in the Lord, that he hasn't deserted us, that he's not some far off place, is a challenge because we can't see God. As a child, we all knew that we were scared. And I'm sure all of us had this time as a child where something we saw frightened us, and it interrupted our sleep, and we cried out. And I can remember my mother coming to me and soothing me. I can see my mother, but I can't see God. And when there's chaos around us, circumstances that we can't control, we have to believe he's infinitely nearer than our mother ever was. So we have to believe in God, who is real yet unseen. And we need to heed the antidote to the greed and love of money, which is trusting in Christ that he will provide for our needs, and to be grateful and thankful for the good things that he gives to us. I make it as a discipline to thank God for the simple things. I thank God for giving me a good night's rest. Don't take it for granted. It doesn't always come. But when it comes, thank him. Thank God for things like being able to live in a building that has no defects with the roof. It's dry. We take it for granted until we get a leaky roof. We take our health for granted until we're sick. Don't take things for granted. Make it a daily discipline to thank God for the things that you too easily can take for granted. Second warning that he gives us in this passage: do not be led astray by false teaching concerning the Lord Jesus. Before we get to the admonition not to be deceived by false teaching, the writer again urges us what we are to do, and that is entrust ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to not be deceived, we should thoroughly know the truth so that we can discern a counterfeit when we see it. Within the Treasury Department of the United States, there is a division which deals with fraud and counterfeit money. Training in this department is that you will see the real thing, and you'll know it so well so that when a counterfeit is passed, you'll be able to detect it. There are certain identifying characteristics that are added to each bill printed by our nation. These characteristics are necessarily difficult to reproduce. Some are intended to stump the casual observer. Armed with no more than a scanner and a color laser printer, some will stump even the serious counterfeiter. If armed with expensive and high-tech equipment, it's even harder to detect a counterfeit. But to touch, tilt, look at, and look through each bill, those trained will be able to know when they see a fraud. To know the fraud, you have to know what the truth looks like. The writer of this letter is telling us to so know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, even before he warns us about false teaching. Hebrews 13:7 says that we should obey our spiritual leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Now he urges them to imitate what is good in the conduct and the teaching of their church leaders. He's not telling them to blindly follow whatever their church leader teaches them. But insofar as they follow Christ, you follow Christ. Hebrews 13:8 goes on to say this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the statement about our Lord needs to be placed in its context. The affirmation is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a statement about the fact that Jesus Christ is God. Only God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you go too far back in history, you and I didn't have a yesterday. But God is eternal. And since Jesus Christ is being spoken of in language of eternity, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the obvious conclusion is that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. But in our context in particular, God the Son is eternal, and his everlasting care for his people will never change. This is the biblical Christ that we must trust in and continue to believe in. But to be in sync with the author's intention, we must also pay attention to the warning to beware of false teaching about Christ. Hebrews 13:9-11 gives this warning with these words: Do not be carried away by varied and strange teaching, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who are so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the body of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. As the writer is addressing his original audience, it's important to keep in mind what he was speaking about. What I think the writer has in mind is warning his audience, which seems to be predominantly Jewish Christians, who are considering going back to Judaism without Christ in order to avoid persecution. The writer is sternly warning them, don't go there. His language about the heart being strengthened by grace and not by food is that he's saying, leave behind the sacrificial system of sacrificing animals. That was for yesterday. It was provisional and temporary until the time Messiah would come. But Messiah has come. So leave that behind. Your walk with God cannot be benefited by that anymore. Jesus Christ has come. He has died once and for all for the sins of the world. He is the fulfillment of all these provisional sacrifices. To go back to practicing the specifics of the Jewish sacrifices and Passover lamb is to ignore the death of Jesus Christ, which is the fulfillment and replacement of these sacrifices. This admonition given here repeats what has already been said in Hebrews 9:9, where the author insisted that the Jewish sacrificial system can no longer make the worshiper perfect and complete in conscience. The Old Testament sacrifices by a priest for the sins of God's people were a stopgap measure until the coming of our Lord. He is telling believers that they must leave behind the shadow of Judaism and cling to the substance of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not go back there. That's backsliding. Don't do it. While we may be tempted to leave the Christian faith, while we may not be tempted to leave the Christian faith for the Jewish faith, I think a very good application for all of us is to avoid any religious faith or belief which undercuts and compromises the teaching of Jesus Christ as the divine Lord and Savior and as the way, the truth, and the life. The one and only Savior for the whole world. Hebrews 13:12-14 reminds us of this. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. In joining with Christ crucified outside the gate, we are not separating ourselves from reality, but the only city that will remain, the city of God, which is ultimate and eternal. For a people who are toying with departing the Christian faith to avoid persecution, the author reminds and rebukes this line of thinking, which acts as if one's temporal safety and security should be the utmost priority in life. It's not. The author, by saying this, says that we need to be seeking the city and priority which is permanent and eternal. Our most important goal in life is not to be happy, not to be safe, not to be accepted by others. Every city on this earth is temporary. It wears out. In fact, some cities go through several destructions and rebuildings before the end of time. But everything we see has a lifespan. It comes and then it goes. But we need to be committed to God and His eternal kingdom. And it's easy for us to get distracted. Our jobs take up so much time in our week. We can act like that's the reason we're here. Other things can distract us so much, we act like that's why we're here. Do you and I really think we're meant to be on this earth to play around with a smartphone? And yet it can totally distract us to the point that somebody could go from birth to 80 years old and never think about God because you're so consumed with a job and doing everyday activities like shopping and watching stuff and conversing with friends that you never give God a thought for 8 or 9 decades. Folks, we're living it right now. The majority of people don't go to church anymore. And there's probably millions that never think about God, no matter how long they live. We have to make sure our eyes are fixed on that which is permanent, and that is God and His kingdom. We all agree that we can't please everybody, but the thoughtful warning that the writer gives to us is that first and foremost, we need to please God and he expects us to obey what he commands. It is necessary for the original audience because human nature distorts everything, that we have God's perspective. The distortion he is zeroing in on is to please God, especially when other things distract us from that main goal and mission. Just as Jesus suffered and died on the cross while people were laughing and scoffing at him, it is the lot of the church across the ages to suffer ridicule and mockery, because in holding fast to the teaching of Scripture, we're the ones that look like we're out of step, that we're just some kind of Neanderthal people that follow a teaching of bygone years in a dusty old book that they think is pathetic. That's our lot. So we're not all that different from the Hebrews. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we must willingly suffer shame and disgrace as we accept the reproach of the world, because we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, help us not to be distracted or led astray from the path of walking in obedience to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Strengthen us by the Holy Spirit that we may live in faithfulness to you. These things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.